Proudly presented by Provident Payments, this is Hometown Heroes, celebrating everyday Americans who answer the call of duty.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and a special episode dedicated to National POW/MIA Recognition Day, marked on the third Friday of September every year. Let's pick up ex-POW M.W. Del Rey's story back in 1943. Shot down and wounded on his fourth B-17 mission, he would find out later that his pilot was shot in his parachute on his way down, but Del Rey made it safely to the ground. So what was the extent of your injuries?
My arm, upper arm, and my leg, upper leg and my lower leg were bleeding, and the German guards came in a pickup. Two ugly ones looked just like guys in the movie, and I'm laying there, and this one guy, they got guns, you know what I mean, and this one guy says, pistola. I had a 45 under my shoulder, and I was afraid to reach for it. I was afraid they'd shoot me, and finally I said, no, they got down by me. Oh yeah, okay, give it to them. What's funny, but they picked me up and took me to the hospital. But Rader meets the co-pilot. The co-pilot's father had married a French girl in World War I. He had grandparents in Paris. They stayed with him. Wow. And Ryan, my co-pilot, he was a very good friend of mine. When we went into London together, he and I, but he could speak French fluently. Spoke some free French, and they were as astounded because he could speak such fluent French. But they finally escaped. They got with the underground, and they got a couple of times where they were pulled out of bars just in time for the Germans to strafe it. Then they got sent to put on an old fishing boat, and got pushed down in the bottom of it. It was stunk terribly, and the German officers came up, and they were going to go down and find him, and it was. German officer was going to come down, and it was stunk so bad. He said, good. They got back to England on that fishing boat. Normally, they go to, they go down through Spain. That's the only time I ever heard of that. Anyway, that happened.
And that would have been your outcome, too, if you weren't hurt so badly, huh?
Yeah, that's right. I'd have been out of there.
So what happened to you from there?
And I went into this hospital in Paris, and I was there, Hôpital Beaujon, which is a big, we were on the ninth floor, right on the Seine River, and I had a whole floor of prisoners. Yeah, and a German doctor put a steel pin in my leg from the knee down, and where the break was, instead of having my foot straight below it, he put a 20-degree bow in it. I came to the next day, and there was a 20-degree bow in my leg with a big cast on it. Well, it turns out that he did it on purpose. I got repatriated because of that. Oh. Yeah, Dr. Honecker.
Your initial reaction is that this guy just really messed me up, but he was actually doing you a favor.
Well, I think that later, because now I had a roommate of mine in the hospital, a RAF lieutenant, that was this doctor put together five breaks in his lower arm. Beautiful job. You could see the x-rays. They'd already taken his leg, so he was repatriated, but he had his arm good.
And this is, and for everybody listening, I want to set the timeline. This is August 16th of 1943 is when you got shot down. So the war isn't going to end for almost 2 years from then. So if you had been a POW that entire time, your experience would have been a little different.
Yeah, well, I was in Paris for, April, I'd say, and from August to April. And two German guards took me to Germany, took two guards. I got a cast on, and they took the walker off, and I'm got RAF trousers from some big guy, and they were wrapped around, and it was funny. We're at the train station and waiting, and they took me into the bar and sat me down and bought a beer. The French were giving me V for victory. They could see my collar and stuff. And the German officer was sitting there with a real flashy gal sitting at the bar. And I mean, they had a table, and he was in a uniform, but it was really something. He got up and came over there and wanted to know what they were doing with this. The Germans didn't get excited at all. They just said, think of it, He went back and sat down. Anyway, that was that.
Well, I want to make sure I understand the impact of this. If that doctor had set your leg correctly, what do you think would have been different?
Well, I would probably end up going to an officer camp and POW camp that's, you know, like in the movies. Yeah, I'd probably end up going. But through all that time, I was sent from place to place. First, when I got back to Germany, I went to the Luftwaffe Interrogation Center at Frankfurt.
And how did that interrogation go?
Well, I went into a little old room, 6 by 12, a small room with frosted glass windows and water jug and a string to pull if you wanted to go to the John. I know there was a guy next door, and we got talking and asked where he was from. And he said, OH-10. And I said, Oklahoma? That's in Oklahoma. That's not right. OH-10? What the hell is OH-10? Oh, Ohio. Oh, God. Anyway, that's funny. And then the German officer came and interrogated me and told me who my CO was and what outfit I was in. And of course, I was old stuff by the time I got there because it was, you know, 6 months, you know, later. I didn't have any information they wanted.
You lived this, so it's not hard for you to describe it. It's just going back into your memory. But I'm trying to imagine myself in your shoes. You're hurt. You've got to be in pain. You don't know if you're ever going to get back to America. How did you keep hopeful and believe that you would make it home someday?
Well, the first 6 months or so is the worst. But then after that, you start getting used to it, and you see the Germans aren't going to shoot you. They're not like the Japanese. They treat us relatively good. The only people that treated you bad were like civilians if you got shot down in a town, women and stuff. And SS troops would get you there bad. But normally, if you got picked up by German soldiers, some guys didn't get it good, but a lot of them made it all right. It wasn't that bad. The only time I got scared is when we got attacked by bombers, or we were in a train and they were going to attack by fighters and stuff.
American fighters, probably.
Yeah, American fighters. Yeah. I had a couple of situations where that happened.
What do you do in a situation like that?
Well, I was going to hit under the, in the train, I was going to hit under this bench, but there was a guy there ahead of me. when our fighters came through and were strafing, and we made it all right. We got into this big, this was on a train that where we ended up going to Switzerland eventually. But we were in this big marshalling yard. They took the engine away. We're sitting out there in the middle of it. And it's when our guys were bombing marshalling yards. We heard the distant area alarm. We heard the overhead area alarm. And that's when I was scared. A lot of us were, because we knew we were going to get bombed. We just knew they were going to bomb us. They flew right on over us and went on someplace else. Oh, my God, was great. I mean, that was great when they went on. Whew. Yeah, I'll never forget that, I guarantee you.
Yeah, that sounds like a really, really helpless feeling. So they kept moving you around. Give me the rest of that journey until you finally became free again.
Well, eventually then I was in a couple of places, barracks with guys. They didn't do anything. We're transferred from this place to that. I finally went to this ag school and college, and at that place we were getting ready to catch the train to go to Switzerland. That's when I first saw our first German jet. We looked up, flying over us, and some guy says, look at that guy go. He didn't have any props. First German jet.
The ME-262, huh?
262 is what it was. That's right.
And for us now, that's an everyday occurrence to hear the jets going overhead, but you didn't even know such a thing existed, right?
We had no idea that something, I had no idea. I didn't know what the hell it was.
And on a serious note, you ever stop and think what those could have done to your bomber crews?
Oh, why? If they just, Hitler, he held them off for a while before they built them. Yeah, it was his fault. We'd have been annihilated, I think. Yeah, that was, we were very fortunate in that war all the way, I'll tell you that. We were fortunate on the invasion, we were fortunate Well, you can see what you want to, but maybe God was on our side. I don't know. Of course, the Germans thought they were on his side. Well, they didn't think much of God, I guess.
I won't argue with your original interpretation, but tell us about your path to liberation, to truly experiencing freedom again and coming home.
And then we go all the way the length of Switzerland at night and went down to Geneva, I guess it is. Got off there. And then they took us on the train to Marseille. We got there and put us on a little yacht, kind of a ship, small ship, American ship, waiting for the Gripsholm, the Navy, a Swedish ship, to come and pick us up, to bring us home. And so we were on that, on the little ship for a while, and then Gripsholm came and put us on, and we came home. I'll never forget, it was me and Bert Shepherd. I don't know if you ever heard of Bert Shepherd. Bert Shepherd was a fighter pilot that got shot down and lost his leg, and he wanted to be a baseball player. He was a baseball player, and the prisoners fixed him a leg, and he used to practice with it. He came home and pitched one inning for the Washington Senators. Yeah. Well, they couldn't use him. The war was still on. We got home because we were repatriated.
Yeah, when was it that you got home?
Well, it was the end of January of 45.
And did you sail into New York City?
We were there for a while, yeah.
Well, the reason I ask is so many POWs have told me that after losing their freedom and experiencing life in another country as a prisoner, to see the Statue of Liberty again had special significance.
You better believe it did. And they had ships come out there spewing water and playing Don't Fence Me In. And, oh, we had a week when the Gripsholm came in. It was wild. I mean, they gave us a welcome. It was great.
You know, I'm thinking back to something you said earlier. You were talking about it seemed that God was on America's side in the war. And I hear your story, and I wonder if you felt God was on your side. You talk about your pilot being shot while he's falling in his parachute. They didn't shoot at you. And then this German doctor twists your leg, so you're going to get sent home instead of in a POW camp. I'm sure there are a lot of things like that, but does that make you feel like somebody was looking out for you?
Well, I've always thought there's somebody up there above. There's something, yeah. Sure. If you don't think that, there's something wrong with you. There's a higher authority, no doubt about it in my mind.
Is that a humbling thought, to think of how close things could have been different for you?
No, I never thought of it that way. Yeah, I'm not that deep. I'm shallow. I'm real shallow.
What did you say that German doctor's name was?
Honecker.
You haven't forgotten that?
I don't know why. I don't know why I've never forgotten his name, Honecker.
And if you saw him again, what would you say to him?
Oh, I don't know. I'd say thank you. I saw a couple of Germans that I was... At one time, if I'd have seen him on the street and had a gun, I would have very easily shot him.
When you think back on all your experiences, what would you say you're most thankful for, most proud of?
As I told you, I'm not very deep. I'm proud of my life. I've been honest. I haven't cheated anybody. I don't lie to people. I don't believe in it. And I haven't hurt anybody. I thought I did a pretty good job as a judge. I know I had some people that told me later I did. Some people wouldn't talk to me about it. I had a little different approach.
He had a POW's perspective, something maybe you and I can benefit from today. It's time for our final break, but when this special POW MIA Day episode continues, another World War II prisoner of war who came close to making the ultimate sacrifice, something his beloved son would do in the Vietnam War. Hometown Heroes will be right back after this.